Welcome in, everybody, to a special Thanksgiving edition of the Football Focus Podcast. I'm sports editor William Gagan, here with assistant sports editor Kevin Pomeroy. We've got a full slate of Turkey Bowl games to talk about, the biggest ones of the year for a lot of these teams, so a lot to talk about. Let's get right into it. We'll start with really one of the biggest ones around the state. That's the big game in Cranston, East versus West, 10 o'clock on Thanksgiving morning. And this is kind of an interesting game because it shapes up as a story of two teams that are really heading in different directions.
They are moving in different directions. I mean, East has turned it on as of late after a tough start. You know, they dropped their first four games in Division I since won two of the last three. And the one loss was actually, you know, a pretty good battle with LaSalle, who's the top-ranked team in the division. While West is, you know, basically the complete opposite. They started out 3-0 in the division and have lost their last four. During that time, their offense has just been, it's been rough. I mean, they've averaged under 8 points a game over the five-game losing streak, actually, because there's been one non-league game in there as well. And the most points they've scored at any point during that span was 14 against Portsmouth in a game they lost by 24 points. So it's been a big struggle for West, whereas East has turned the corner a little bit and I think probably has a little bit of confidence heading into this one.
Yeah, I would think so. The good thing about this in terms of Thanksgiving is that this is everything now. West just missed out on the playoffs. East missed out on the playoffs. So Thanksgiving is their Super Bowl. And we saw last year that can make a gigantic difference and really turn this game into something big.
Yeah, I mean, you were at that game last year, and you know, I've talked to a few other people, and it sounds like that was one of the better games in the series history. And it was in a similar situation with neither team going to the playoffs. This was the end of their season, and they still left it all out in the field. And after the game, you saw the emotion and the happiness and the excitement of winning a game like that, which East did 14-13, I believe. So, I mean, you can speak to it better than I can, but I would imagine the stakes are going to be just as high for this game as they would be for a playoff game for these type of teams.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, this is the biggest game these guys are going to play all year. And last year, it was an awesome game. Definitely the best Thanksgiving game I've seen. And I think this, I don't know that the script can match it this year. It was a pretty wild game last year. But definitely the energy will be the same, big crowd, and the teams are definitely going to be into it. We mentioned the West offense. As we look at the matchup, that's definitely something to watch because they have struggled, and the East defense has played well.
The East defense has played well. The one thing they've struggled against, at least lately, and it showed up in the LaSalle game big time, was the big play. LaSalle is a great running back in Josh Morris, and East really held him in check for most of the game, except four plays. And four plays, he took it for long, long touchdown runs. And that was the difference in the game. I mean, he ended up with over 200 yards rushing, but you take out those four and he probably had 40 yards rushing. So those things really doomed East then. And, you know, one thing to watch is West running back Brian Stetson, who has that same sort of ability that Morris has for LaSalle. So if East has those same breakdowns, that could kind of get that West offense back on track with Stetson running the ball. But in general, the East defense has been playing well. Kept LaSalle in check, played great against South Kingstown the week before that. It's maybe a little bit of a favorable matchup for West compared to some of the other teams, but East has really played well and you know, would like to extend West's streak of futility, I guess, on offense.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the big play, I mean, that could be the kind of thing that breaks West out of this struggle because they've had a hard time sustaining things. But East is a little bit susceptible to it, and Brian Stetson can break a big one. Joe Ciraldi can do that too. I mean, they got a couple of guys, so definitely going to be an interesting matchup there. On the other side, the East offense, maybe not the most high-powered group, but they've been playing well. They've got two good running backs. Kyle Tracy's been throwing the ball well, and a young wide receiver has been really playing well, Marvin Beauvais.
Yeah, Marvin has been playing great. He's come on and emerged as, you know, one of the more premier talents at receiver maybe in the state. I mean, he's a big physical kid. He's only a sophomore. And he's not the only young guy making noise for that team or that could be making some noise for that team. The East freshman team just won the Division II Super Bowl in a dominating fashion. They blew out Westerly on Saturday in the finals, and they were led by a couple of guys in the backfield who will be up playing with the varsity on Thanksgiving. We got Markeem Monroe and Ashford Peel. Two kids that really, you know, were big factors for that freshman team during the season and really, really played well in the playoffs. Monroe had over 200 yards in the championship game. And they're big, physical, tough running backs. And they're only, you know, 14 years old or 15 years old. But I think they have the ability to make a difference on Thanksgiving Day, despite not having played a second of varsity time yet so far.
Yeah, I think that could definitely happen. If that happens, you heard it here first.
That's right.
Markeem Monroe and Ashford Peel, future stars. And that whole East freshman team looks really good. So definitely something to watch for the future. Talking about the back to the present, West's defense, I think, might have the edge over East defense in the sense that they're a little bit bigger. And in terms of the trenches, probably the biggest team, the toughest team East has faced this year.
Yeah, West is definitely bigger, and that's one of East's kind of downfalls, is their lack of size up front. So you would think West will be able to physically, control the line of scrimmage a little bit more. And that could be a key in terms of West getting their ground game going. Like we've said, they struggled so much offensively, and during the time when they've struggled, they faced a lot of big teams. They faced Hendrickson, they faced LaSalle. They faced a lot of the better teams, and those teams are typically the bigger ones. East is not like that, so it'll be a little bit of a change for the Falcons to actually go against a team they're bigger than and a team that they hope they can run the ball on.
Yeah. East has won two straight in this series. This was a series that West owned for a while, not that long ago, but East has played really well in this game. West, Coach Steve Storrs said, Brian Stetson was the only one who's beaten East. He played as a freshman a couple years back. It was the last time West beat East, so it's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out. Let's talk prediction. And we are taking East in this one, 20-14. That was our Thanksgiving turkey.
Special thanks to Jessica Patella, one of the reporters here, for supplying the turkey sounds.
Yes. So he'll be joining us for the rest of this podcast. You never know when the turkey's going to just jump out. All right, let's move on and talk about our big one in Warwick. That's Vets visiting Pilgrim Thanksgiving morning at 10 a.m. Another big one, another storied game, always interesting. And another one that this year, neither team has anything else to play for. So this is it. This is the Super Bowl.
This is it for them. One thing with this game is we do have a team that, based on what we've seen in the regular season, should be the clear-cut favorite.
Mm-hmm.
That should be Pilgrim. They won three times during the season, narrowly missed out in the playoffs. Vets had the one win early in the season and hasn't won since then. So Pilgrim, on paper, has the edge. But as we've seen in the past, and you have seen more specifically, you can almost throw the records out the window when it comes to these two teams. I know it sounds a little cliche, but just a few years ago, that really was the case, right?
Yeah, it really was. 2007, Vets went undefeated in league play, lost in the first round of the playoffs, and then came into to Thanksgiving heavy, heavy favorites because Pilgrim had gotten winless. And Vets had Bob Benson at this time, and Pilgrim beat him by a point, the biggest upset in the series. So that's what can happen in this series. And when the teams are even closer together, I don't think Pilgrim is a heavy, heavy favorite. Anything can happen. I think it could turn out to be a really good game.
In the same way that we just talked about East and West, I think these two teams really do feel like this game is so big for them. There are no playoffs, but even if there were, I think they just really, really, really want to beat the other team. Tom O'Connor, the Pilgrims coach, talked to me last week and said, in no uncertain terms, this is basically our Super Bowl. We didn't make the playoffs now, so this is it. We want to beat Vets, and we're going to be judged on if we beat Vets. And I think Vets feels the same way about Pilgrims. So you're going to have two teams with not a ton to play for anymore, except pride and the fact that they will be beating their rival. Last year's game came right down to the wire. Pilgrim won 20-13, had a defensive stand on the goal line at the end of the game. So, that kind of just goes to show you what can happen and what this series is all about. And I don't think there's much of a reason to expect it to be any different on Thursday.
Yeah. Pilgrim definitely kind of took care of the teams that Vets is similar to.
Yeah.
It seems like that. You look at the Tollgate Pilgrim game. Pilgrim, allowed some points, didn't play perfect, but came out better in the end because I think they were the better team. And Vets, I think, is kind of in that same range as Tollgate. So Pilgrim obviously has the edge. Vets, if it's going to happen, I think their line has to play well. I think they've got to get some big plays from TJ Boyajian. I think they need some solid quarterback play because it's been inconsistent.
It's been inconsistent, and it's also been a revolving door of bodies. Yeah. The last game they played, they lost to Woonsocket 14-9, and they had Diego Martinez at quarterback. And they ran a full-on option offense for basically the entirety of the game. And that was his first game as the full-time quarterback. Before that, they've had Danny Greaves, they've had Jesse Sidoma. So they've had three guys who've been in and out, which could serve as an advantage because Pilgrim doesn't really know who to prepare for, especially with Diego there kind of switching up the tempo. But also, you know, you want your best quarterback in there if you're vets. They've struggled with some injuries. So, you know, maybe they're a little unsure too. I mean, you know, last week, Sodoma was hurt and so was Greaves. So, you know, where they stand health-wise, it's hard to say right now. But they're going to, you know, they're going to ride the hot hand or ride whoever's healthy. And that's going to give their offense a different look no matter who's in the game.
Yeah, that's true. Pilgrim, on the other hand, everybody knows what Pilgrim's going to do.
Yep.
They're going to run the ball. They're going to run it a lot with Alex Leddy and Andrew Leddy. And they'll mix in Vinny DeVito and Carl Shogren. But it's smash-mouth football, and they don't change what they do.
No, they just, in no uncertain terms, again, do not change what they do. They run the ball, and they run it the same way no matter who they're playing right now. I mean, they're looking to pick up 4 or 5 yards a carry, move the clock, wear you down. You really start to feel it in the second half when – you know, their big running backs are hitting you and hitting you and hitting you. And hopefully, you know, the goal is that the defense gets a little tired and they break a few big plays. And that's worked. So, you know, some of the time it worked against Pontagansett. They beat Woonsocket early on and employed that strategy and it worked. So against a small vets team up front, or smaller vets team, I guess I should say, a big running back is a weapon. And, you know, Pilgrim has one of the bigger ones in the division, or two of them, I guess, of both the Lettys,
mm-hmm.
And we'll use them. You know, that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to be the difference in this one. The Pilgrim, a little more physical, and especially in terms of the running backs, those guys can pound it. And I would not want to get in Alex Leddy's way or Andrew Leddy's way.
No.
So that, I think, may end up being the difference. Let's talk predictions again. We will go with Pilgrim in this one. 22-15. Moving on to our other Warwick game, we've got Hendricken visiting Tollgate, also at 10 a.m. on Thanksgiving. And the story hasn't changed much from last year. Hendricken, one of the favorites in D1, Tollgate struggled in D2. And Hendricken has won 19 straight in this series. So really, the story hasn't changed all that much over the years. I think it'll still be a fun atmosphere. It's always nice on Thanksgiving morning to get out there. But Hendricken obviously is the big favorite in this one.
You don't want to rag on anybody, you know, but I think Tollgate has kind of resigned themselves to what they're getting into and what this game is. I mean, they will put their best foot forward and try as hard as they can and want to win. And if they did, that would be, you know, a huge upset and unbelievable for them. But I think they understand how good Hendricken is, the difference between the two schools, and just, you know, what the game is at this point. So they'll come out, they'll do whatever they can, but if they can stay in the game and make Hendricken keep their starters in into the second half and that sort of thing, I think they'll treat that like a pretty good way to end their season.
Yeah, the good news for Tollgate is that they are finally playing good football, it seems, at least for one game. They beat Coventry in a non-league game. The line finally blocked well. Derek Durant had a huge day, over 200 yards. So they at least go into Thanksgiving feeling good about themselves, and that could make a difference.
Yeah, and they have a little consistency on that line, too, for the first time in a while. They've battled injuries through, you know, the course of the year, and now the last couple games they've had the same kid starting on the line. They've had now 10 days or whatever it's been since they last played, so they're practicing with those same kids on the line. So they've had, you know, a good chunk of time to get some security there and some stability. And that's helped them, obviously, do their blocking, and it's helped Derek Durant start to run and find some holes. I mean, they scored 38 points last week, and they haven't scored 38 points in, you know, 4-game stretches at points during the season. So that, you know, in itself is a very, very good sign for the offense, and they're going to need every bit of blocking and, you know, scrapping for extra yards they can against a Hendricken team that is physically much, much bigger.
Yeah, right. That'll, again, be a difference, much like the Pilgrim Vets game, and even probably a bigger difference because of Hendricken's size. As you look at the Hawks, they are the number 2 seed in the Division I playoffs, so they will be looking ahead a little bit to their Tuesday playoff game against South Kingstown. So they're going to want to get out in front. They're going to want to, you know, probably rest their stars after a while. But talking to Keith Croft, the head coach at Hendricken, he said, you know, last year, Hendricken was the best team in the state, and Tollgate had struggled. But Hendricken came out, and it wasn't easy. It was not an easy game for them to win. I think it was a 6-0 game at halftime. So that's what Hendricken has to keep in the back of their mind, that they are the better team, but Tollgate's going to come out with everything they have, and they're going to try their best to make it a very good game.
It's got to be so hard as a team that does have that playoff game coming up
to
not kind of overlook Tollgate. But I think what you said holds a lot of merit. I think they have to concentrate on coming out, you know, hot. They really, really have to think, how big this game is for their alumni, for their faculty, for their fans, for everybody there, and they can't, you know, they can't go down. They can't lose it for them. I mean, that would be a huge letdown for them. Mm-hmm. But they obviously want to get out of there well-rested. So the point is, get out there early, get a big lead where you can rest your players, where you don't get any injuries, and you still come away with the win. I mean, if they're going, if it's 6-0 at halftime again, they're going to have to play those guys in the third quarter. Yeah. They can't afford to put in their backups and potentially lose this game.
Yeah.
So it's a tricky situation because, you know, the biggest game they're going to be playing so far this season is coming up on Tuesday when they'll probably take on South Kingstown in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But this one is big too. And I mean, if you lose it, God, it would be bedlam around there.
Right? Really,
I don't
would.
Know how they would handle it. So yeah. It's a really, really dicey thing in terms of balancing who you're going to play, for how long you're going to play, and the intent and level that the team's going
to
bring.
Yeah, exactly. And not just big, if they were to lose, it's not just big because you lost the series, but then it's like, well, we got to play a playoff game in 3 days after a really bad loss. So could be an interesting one. Hendricken, I think, if things go as planned, they're going to run the ball and they're going to be able to pound it. I think they'll be able to dominate the line of scrimmage. I think that'll ultimately make the difference.
Yep.
Our prediction, Hendricken 34, Tolgate 12. All right, our last game to talk about, we've got Johnston taking on St. Ray's. This is actually a Thanksgiving Eve game, 7 o'clock in Johnston. And this is kind of a budding rivalry, I guess you could say. It's certainly a new rivalry.
They're trying.
They're trying. This is only the second year for this game on Thanksgiving. But last year, I mean, they had a pretty wild start, not necessarily on Thanksgiving, but a pretty wild start to everything. They played each other in the playoffs, and then the next week played on Thanksgiving. So that made the Thanksgiving game a little weird because St. Ray's was going on in the playoffs. But they have some history, so it could be an interesting game.
It made it very weird,
quite
frankly, because they played in the playoffs, and it was a overtime game, and I don't even remember. The score was like 55-52 or something absurd. It was just a back-and-forth shootout. Johnston felt like it could have won and held a late lead in that game and didn't win. So it got eliminated. Then it has to go back and play that same team again on Thanksgiving. It almost felt like they didn't want to be there. Not to diminish the game, but just because, you know, Johnston had just been eliminated in a horrible fashion, and now St. Ray's had that playoff game to look forward to.
Yeah.
They did not play this year in the playoffs. St. Ray's was in the playoffs and was eliminated. Johnston didn't make the playoffs, so now you have these two teams. This is their last game. They have not played at any point during the season. Now we will get to see if this rivalry that they're kind of trying to create has any teeth, if it really can become something that will be sort of a tradition on Thanksgiving. Last year wasn't a great judge of that. This year, you know, hopefully it'll be a better one.
Yeah, I think it could be. I think it could shape up as a nice game for these guys every year. I think the thing, when they don't have the big rivalry, you know, it's not an East-West game. I think the thing for them is just trying to finish strong. And Johnston has sort of been on that track for a while now. That's what they've been talking about, because they were really in a tough spot playoff-wise for a while. And they knew they had to win out, and even then it was going to look tough. So in the face of that, they've actually played really well. They won their last two league games, and then they beat a solid Pilgrim team in a non-league game. So they're definitely trying to finish strong, and it seems like the players have bought into that.
Yep, no, I think they're going to come out with the same sort of attitude they've had the last few weeks. Like you just said, I mean, they needed to win those games, but in the back of their mind, they knew they still probably weren't going to make the playoffs. So they came out and took care of business. You know, no reason to think they won't come out with that same sort of intensity in this one. They want to send their seniors off for the win just like every other team does, and they want to keep up what they've been building on for those younger guys for next year. I mean, it's a team that figures to have a real chance in the future to be a big-time contender in Division II over the next couple of years. I would think they'll be ready to play, and they'll come out hot and look to win the game in any way possible.
St. Ray's went 5-2 in Division 2B and lost to Westerly in the playoffs. St. Ray's, pretty solid team. Charles Correa is a really good running back, some other strong players like Devon Robertson. But if the first round of the playoffs showed anything, it's that 2A is a little bit stronger than 2B, because 2A slept the four playoff games. So Johnston at 4-3 in 2A. And may even be a better team than St. Ray's. We'll find out. Johnston beat Westerly, and Westerly beat St. Ray's in the playoffs. So that's something to keep an eye on. We talk about Johnston a lot. They have a lot of weapons. Hobson, Halton, Pappas, Pistachio, Defon, ton of guys. So all those guys could run wild in this one.
They could do that. And that's one reason I think this has a chance to succeed as a rivalry, because you know, Johnson does have that many good players, and they kind of seem to have, you know, to be funneling them in. They've had good players in the past few years, and they keep bringing them up and bringing them up. And St. Ray's has had a good program for years now. So you have two teams that should continue to be competitive year in and year out. And if that's the case, it could breed, you know, a pretty good Thanksgiving Day rivalry.
Yeah. All right, our last prediction. We've got Johnston in this one, 27-20. Thanks again to the turkey, to Jessica Patello for providing the turkey sound. And that'll pretty much do it for our podcast here. We will be back with a playoff podcast.
Yeah, it's just going to be Hendrickson, and we'll break down the other Division I playoff game as well, yeah. So we can find out if Hendrickson were to win, who they'd be playing in the Super Bowl.
Yep. All right, that'll do it. Enjoy the games if you head out there. Enjoy Thanksgiving, and thanks for listening.
Happy Thanksgiving.